Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Biden interview. President Biden knows it wasn't his finest moment.
It's a bad episode. No indication of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing. And a bad night.
The president in an exclusive interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, his first televised interview since a shaky debate performance last week.
You and your team have said you had a bad night. But your friend Nancy Pelosi actually framed the question that I think is on the minds of millions of Americans. Was this a bad episode or the sign of a more serious condition?
It was a bad episode. No indication of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing, and I had a bad night.
The interview will air in its entirety on ABC TV at 8 p.m. Eastern. This is ABC News. A big win for Britain's Labour Party.
10 Downing Street with a new resident, Labour's Keir Starmer, now British Prime Minister, defeating the Conservative Party in a historic landslide.
We did it!
Winning a staggering 412 of the 650-seat parliament. Starmer then heading to the palace, where the king asked him to form a new government. He's Britain's 58th prime minister and Charles's third.
ABC senior foreign correspondent James Longman. The heat is on across the West Coast.
For those who live in Las Vegas, 112 degrees is nothing. They've been out in parks exercising and on playgrounds with their children this week. But Sunday's expected nearly 120 degrees is too much for Sherelle Small, who says that'll be the point where she stays in the AC.
I'm going to stay inside.
If Las Vegas does get above 117 degrees, that will break the all-time heat record for the city. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Alminger, ABC News.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A defiant President Biden tells a Wisconsin audience he's running and plans to win again.
I'm staying in the race. Yeah! I'll beat Donald Trump.
The president concedes he had a bad night in last week's debate.
I'm not letting one 90-minute debate wipe out 3.5 years of work.
Biden told a crowd of about 1,000 supporters in Madison that Donald Trump is a convicted felon and a threat to democracy. The state Supreme Court is handing Wisconsin Democrats two big victories. Justices ruled election clerks can use ballot drop boxes as they see fit in this year's elections. Also, the court ruled the legislature's Joint Finance Committee overstepped its authority when blocking some of Governor Evers' actions. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers split the series in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Colorado Rockies last night 4-3. Milwaukee fell behind early. They also missed some scoring opportunities, leaving base runners in scoring position. The Brewers had snapped a 6-game losing streak playing at Coors Field earlier this week, but ended up splitting the 4-game series with the last-place Rockies 2 games apiece. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, big picture, you can say, good, we won a couple games here. We've had trouble here. But the truth is, I'm disappointed. You know, we could have won all 4 games. games, and that would have put us in a way better position than going forward. I love the way they compete every game, but there was a ton of opportunities tonight.
NFL Quadzilla in the Quad Cities. Packers running back A.J. Dillon competing this week in the John Deere Pro-Am Golf Classic. Dillon on the young receivers on the Packers roster.
Yeah, I mean, these young guys, the young tight ends, the young receivers, you know, the whole story all the time is, oh, the youth. Well, the youth is stepping up, and they're looking great, so I'm happy for them.
Training camp starts in about 2 weeks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Lacrosse area weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, scattered thunderstorms, a low around 59. Mostly sunny, high of 81 for Saturday. Scattered storms Saturday night. Some heavy rain is possible again, a low of 63. And some puddles forming on Sunday with a high around 79. That's Eagle weather.
It's 73 at our studios.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, we'll talk to the Humane Handling Institute about different ways to raise and slaughter our animals. Interesting discussion. Hope you'll join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Happy 5th of July. It's a Friday night edition of Nightlight, which means all kinds of fun stuff like we do every Friday. Terry Barr will be here at 8:35 to bring us new music and introduce us to up-and-coming bands. I love that. She never disappoints, and she's always fun to talk to. Terry will be here at 8:35. My old buddy Greg Schwemm will be here at 7:35. Greg is a syndicated columnist and comedian who has a very funny column about the debates, presidential debates, and what we expect of our presidential candidates. And he also has a great article about CFS. I'm talking about, of course, cinema fatigue syndrome, and how he cannot stay awake when he watches TV or movie. So those will be two fun discussions. Great guest tonight. And this is a big day. Conrad, are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. So you may or may not have heard of the show Seinfeld.
Have
you heard of it? Okay.
I may have.
We've talked about it a fair amount on this show, probably more than we should because we have various connections to the show and it's won all these awards and it's one of the greatest sitcoms ever. I think that's understood. The show dropped today in 1989. So we're going to play kind of a best of Seinfeld clip little montage in the second segment tonight. Coming up after we open the show here, we'll kick off the show with some laughs. Then we'll further it with some other laughs at 7:35 with Greg Schwemm. And then Terry Barr in the second hour. That's a show, man. That is a great Friday show. Day after a holiday, there's always a letdown, but we'll try to give you some laughs and keep your spirits up as we do the day after Christmas syndrome here. A lot of weekend left, though. I'm excited to get back at it. Conrad, how are the cats going? What do you have planned the rest of the weekend?
The cats are good. I just feed them, and then that's about it. They just want some attention a little bit.
Tons of fun.
So easy to take care of cats.
Do you pet them? Do you, like, give them affection and all that kind of stuff, or are you just, like, slapping a bowl in front of them?
No, I love those cats.
Do you really? Oh, that's nice. That makes it easier, I'm sure.
But I don't think I could own cats myself.
Why? Because of a responsibility thing or just because you don't like them that much?
I don't like them that much. I'd rather own a dog myself. It's definitely not the responsibility thing. But so I did that. Also, yesterday I went golfing with one of my friends.
Okay.
That was fun. Yeah. And then, just kind of chilled around the house. We played darts and pool.
Wow.
Well, chilling around my brother's house.
Okay.
He is all that stuff. I don't.
Oh, gotcha. So you use him for his luxuries.
Oh, no. I have to take care of your house? Oh, that sucks, man.
Oh, what a bummer.
Oh, no.
Party at my brother's. pool, darts, golf. You pretty much got all the leisurely activities covered.
Exactly.
What are you? What do you shoot when you play golf? What's your handicap, as they say?
Oh, my handicap is not great, but I can. I don't want to share the handicap, but I will share my average, which is about, I'd say, a 110 to a 115.
And that's on nine holes?
If it was on nine holes, I don't think I should be playing golf.
So a 110 to a 115, that's around
18.
50 to 60 per nine.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you'd be better than that, to be honest with you.
I just started about 2 years ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like this almost pro type golfer.
Oh, definitely not.
Oh, okay. You just love it then.
So while learning, it's very difficult. Very difficult. It's a mental game. You get really mad at yourself sometimes. My brother told me the power of using your non-dominant hand with anger.
With anger. We're still talking about golf, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes you get mad and you want to throw things, throw it with your left hand.
Oh, interesting. See, I did that once. I was with my two brothers and my dad on a golf course in Three Lakes, Wisconsin, which should be called, you know, Horsefly Golf Course. But I got so mad because I'm a bad golfer and it was about 90 degrees out and some guy tees off and the ball lands 4 feet from me.
Oh.
And I turn around and it was like a tirade of expletives. And I think I ended up throwing my club down and leaving it there. And I yelled at this guy. And my dad tells me, and he's like, Pete, we don't want any fights on the golf course. And I was like, so I was so mad. And we went to the next hole to tee off after I yelled at this guy. And he just stood there. What he knows, he was an idiot and didn't yell for. And I had to go back and get my club while they were on the. So that was like, and I had calmed down by then. So I was like, all right, excuse me. So that's not my game. But anyway.
You know that clip of Larry David teeing off?
No, on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
It was an episode. And they go, hey, just go. You're not going to hit him. Just go. He's like, I don't know. Like, sometimes I get a hold of it. It could hit him. He's like, no, you don't hit it that far. He tees off and he hits the guy directly in the back of the head.
Oh, I did not see that one. That is hilarious. That's just Murphy's Law.
And then he just hides.
That's what I would do. I would be the guy who never hit it that far in my life, and I would hit the guy.
Exactly.
So, this is kind of a big day. Kevin Miles turns 33. Do you know who that is?
I have to go to the Google for that.
Don't waste your time. That's why I'm here. Kevin Miles is Jake from State Farm.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the actor name. Yeah.
And I got to be honest, in general conversation in the past, I've said, how is this guy their spokesman? Like, he's likable and a clean cut, good looking guy. But he looks like he's 19 to me. I never bought him as an insurance agent.
Yeah.
And he's got shorts and high tops. It's like, what? Whatever, it works. State Farm's a huge company, but I never liked the guys they had before him either, like the guys that would be talking in the middle of the night in the khakis, and they just look kind of clueless and stupid. And this guy doesn't look that. He just looks young. He looks like he skateboarded onto the set, and then he's acting like an insurance agent. But you know what? He's also a serious actor. He's been on Criminal Minds. He's been on SWAT. But he's been doing this State Farm gig for, like, I thought it was 10 years now. And they have to sign him to an exclusive contract so he can't do any more commercials. This guy is rolling in cash. Let's see if we can get him on the show.
Well, all we need to do is, what do we need to say? Like a good neighbor?
Yeah.
State Farm is there.
Be a good neighbor. Talk to your Wisconsin affiliates. Yeah, really.
I didn't even know he did other gigs, to be honest. I thought it was just Jake from State Farm.
Well, it might be now. His contract might be such that, like, he can't go play a serial killer on Criminal Minds because that would mess up their product. So I'm sure since he's been with State Farm, I would imagine he's been exclusive and they are paying him handsomely. I knew a guy, there was another Chicago comic who was the voice of Bud Dry, and he got this gig. It was just a voiceover gig. It was three words. Wait, why? Five words. Why ask why? Bud Dry. That's all he had to say. And I think he made over $1 million. He was like the guy for like 3 years and they locked him up. So I'm sure Jake from State Farm is really pulling it in. Let's try to get him on the show and ask him how much he makes. I think that would be a good line of questioning.
Well, it's crazy to see how many of these ads he has met these, you know, famous athletes, famous actors just doing the State Farm ad.
He and Mahomes are probably on the same bowling team. Like, they hang out, I'm sure, and they've done a lot of stuff. Huey Lewis turned 73 today. Huey Lewis in the News, great band from the 80s, and The Power of Love. They wrote The Power of Love. The film Back to the Future also dropped this week, earlier in the week, and that was the film Power of Love kind of was the theme song for. So this is a big week for Back to the Future, Power of Love, and Huey Lewis. It's the trifecta of songwriting and pop singing. So
I gotta say, Back to the Future is probably one of my all-time favorite movies.
It's a great movie.
All three of them, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. I like all of them, too. I think I like the future when they go forward.
Yeah.
As opposed to back in the 1800s. But yeah, the first one, so great. And that was the year I like graduated from high school. And I remember going to see that like three times. Loved the music, loved all the, it was just great. Michael J. Fox is great. Leah Thompson, Lloyd is hilarious.
The guy who plays Biff. He's a great actor too. He plays that role really, really well.
Yeah, Thomas, what is his name? He was in a few other things. I think he was in a movie called April Fool's Day. And he was very funny in that too, but he was a stand-up comic and got cast in that, and he didn't really do much after that. I'm sure his residual checks are aplenty, and he's probably done really well for himself. But I agree with you. I always thought this guy should be in other stuff. He's very funny. And and he has all these jokes, like, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? Like, he messes up all those phrases. But my favorite is when he leaves the house, and Marty McFly is kind of bird-dogging him, and his grandma yells something, and he just stops and lowers his head. And we don't even see his face, and he just yells, I told you, Grandma, I'm going to the dance! Like, he's so stupid and angry. Yeah, he played that great. He was great in that film. Today is also National Bikini Day.
Are you wearing your bikini right now?
Not on me, no, because I don't want to get in a car accident on the way home and be found like that. So I keep it at home. I wear it in the privacy of my own home.
There you go.
I have never worn a bikini, I can honestly say. I've never even worn. I might have had a banana hammock like before I really even had a banana, like when I was like 10, maybe. That was the style. Like when I was a kid, I'm like, why are we wearing those bathing suits? But that's the closest I've ever come to wearing a bikini. But congratulations to all the bikini wearers to have this day. This is also Workaholics Day. We're working. It's the day after the 4th of July. Does that make us workaholics?
I don't think so.
Why would you be a workaholic? I mean, really. I don't know. I get it. I love what I do. I love being creative and all that kind of stuff. But I don't... if I was one of those guys like looking over spreadsheets for 18 hours a day, I don't think I could do it. I don't know. This is the life we've chosen, Conrad. So as I mentioned, the rest of the weekend, I'm going to chill. That's what I'm going to do. You're going to take care of cats. I think I'm going to sit on my porch. I'm going to watch the end of 1883. I have one episode to go, and I've totally done an about face on that. So, all right. Greg Schwemm coming up at 7:35. We'll talk about cinema fatigue syndrome. It's not chronic. And Terry Barr will be here at 8:30 when we come back. Coming up next, this is the anniversary of the drop date of Seinfeld on NBC. We'll play some of our favorite Seinfeld clips. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this day after the 4th. I hope everybody had a very safe holiday. We put out kind of a funny message. I hope everybody got to see that. It's on the Nightlight Facebook page. Feel free to give us a like while you're there, or a follow, or bake a casserole. Bring that by. We'll demolish that. Maybe some bundt cake as a chaser. And I hope you're having a great weekend wherever you are in Wisconsin. Our state does the 4th of July right. And I don't know. This is just a great place to be. Wisconsin in the summertime is great. The 4th of July is also great. We know how to do it right. Are you a fireworks guy?
I used to be.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, yeah. I don't. I've seen them.
I think I said that the other day. Like, it's just so strange. Because my friend posted something on Facebook that said, go ahead and record the fireworks presentation on your little iPhone, but it's something you will never watch again. And I've done that. I've pointed, oh, these are beautiful. Put the iPhone, and then you look at it on your iPhone, it looks like nothing. Yeah. So it's just a waste of storage space. So, all right, this is the day, July 5th, 1989, one of the greatest sitcoms, arguably the greatest sitcom, certainly on network television, dropped in 1989. I'm talking about, of course, Seinfeld. So we thought we would, you know, select a few clips to play to help you with your post 4th of July depression. And let's do that now, Conrad. Let's do these pretzels. This is Kramer after he got a role in a Woody Allen film.
Say, I turn to him and I go, boy, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Is that how you're going to say it?
No, I'm working on it.
Do it like this. These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Oh, these pretzels are making me thirsty. No, see, that's no good. See, you don't know how to act.
These pretzels are making me thirsty. Oh, that was no good?
I didn't say anything.
All right, I'm going to go break up with Owen.
What was wrong with that? I had a different interpretation. Do you know anything about this pretzel guy? Maybe he's been in the bar a really long time and he's really depressed because he has no job and no woman and he's parking cars for a living. All right, shut up! Shut up! I hear you! I'm coming down! These pretzels are making me thirsty! Yeah!
That's George Costanza. It was great. He took over parking cars for the guy who had to go on vacation because Jerry's car got stolen. I think George felt obligated. I'm pretty sure that's the same. Sometimes I get my Seinfeld episodes confused because there's multiple episodes where he rents a car or goes to the airport. But that one is one of my favorites, where Kramer got a role in the Woody Allen film and he cracked up Woody Allen. And then at the end, he got fired ultimately because he caused Kramer type commotion, which involved a lot of slapstick comedy. What else we have? We have, this is one of my favorites too. This is where Elaine let Kramer take a picture of her for her Christmas card. And he gave her a baggy shirt to wear that didn't quite cover all the real estate.
Look at what we have here. A Christmas card from Lainey. Thank you. Well, you didn't have to go to that trouble.
No, there's no
trouble. My assistant did the whole thing.
I didn't even see the picture. How did it come out?
Oh, you know, it's a picture.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Looks good. Kramer did a good job.
Yeah, well, I mean, how hard is it to take a picture?
Hmm.
What?
Did you look at this picture carefully?
Carefully?
Because I'm not sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I see a nipple.
What?
Here, take a look. What is this?
Oh, my God! That's my nipple!
That's what I thought.
That's my nipple. My nipple's exposed. I sent this card to hundreds of people. My parents, my boss. Min and Papa.
Didn't you look at the picture?
Oh, God, I didn't notice. Oh, what am I going to do? You know, your whole life, you go through painstaking efforts to hide your nipple, and then boom, suddenly hundreds of people get their own personal shot of it.
Hey.
Have you seen the card?
What card?
My Christmas card.
Oh, yeah, of course, I took it.
Well, did you notice anything unusual about it?
No.
Well, come here and take a look.
Yeah, so?
So what's that?
That's a nipple.
Right. Oh, great. Didn't you see that?
No, I didn't notice it.
It's because you made me wear that stupid shirt.
Well, maybe no one noticed it. You didn't notice it. Let me go get Newman. We'll see if he sees it.
No, I don't want him looking.
Oh, what's the difference? Everybody else you know has it.
Oh, my God. I sent one to the super in my building, my mailman, my 10-year-old little nephew, Sister Mary Catherine, Father Chelios. Oh, my God, Fred. I sent one to Fred.
Okay, what is it?
Here. Take a look at this card. Tell me if you notice anything unusual about it.
Yeah, your nipple's showing.
Oh. Okay, thanks.
Anything else?
No.
All right, see you later.
What? So what? It's a nipple. It's a little brown circular protuberance. It's a big deal. Yeah, everybody's got to look. I got them.
It's like Larry David knows exactly when to spring a word from his vernacular. Like, I remember the first time I heard that, and I heard the word protuberance. I hadn't heard that word in like 20 years, and I lost it. It's good stuff. We have another one. Do we have time for another one?
Yeah, the cleaning lady clip.
This is the cleaning lady clip. This is George getting fired for having sex with the cleaning woman.
Get right to the point. It's come to my attention that you and the cleaning woman have engaged in sexual intercourse on the desk in your office. Is that correct? Who said that? She did. Was that wrong? Should I not have done that? I tell you, I gotta plead ignorance on this thing, because if anyone had said anything to me at all when I first started here that sort of thing was frowned upon... You know, because I've worked in a lot of offices, and I tell you, people do that all the time. You're fired. Well, you didn't have to say it like that. I want you out of here by the end of the day. What about the whole Christmas spirit thing? Any flexibility there?
Nah.
George Costanza, an American hero. All right, coming up next, my old buddy Greg Schwemm. Can you stay awake during movies? If not, you're not alone. We'll talk about some of Greg's articles. He writes for his blog, The Humor Hotel, at Tribune Media Services, and he is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Biden interview. President Biden knows it wasn't his finest moment.
It's a bad episode. No indicator of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing. And a bad night.
The president, in an exclusive interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, his first televised interview since a shaky debate performance last week.
You and your team have said you had a bad night. But your friend Nancy Pelosi actually framed the question that I think is on the minds of millions of Americans. Was this a bad episode or the sign of a more serious condition?
It was a bad episode. No indicator of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing, and I had a bad night.
The interview will air in its entirety on ABC TV at 8 p.m. Eastern. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A word of caution against binge drinking.
Binge drinking is a significant preventable cause of death in the U.S. Monica Minsberg is a substance use intervention coordinator with Aspirus Wausau Hospital.
Binge drinking is having four or more drinks in a 2 to 3 hour setting for men and three or more drinks for women in the same time period.
Minsberg says set a personal limit, stay hydrated, eat well, offer non-alcoholic drinks if you're hosting, plan transportation in advance, and if you've been drinking, please let someone else handle the fireworks. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
State troopers will be watching drivers from buses and large trucks in an upcoming campaign. Wisconsin is averaging 7,000 crashes a year over the last 5 years involving large commercial trucks. 70 people died. That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 4th of July typically means a big weekend at the summer box office. This year should not disappoint. Opening this weekend is Disney Pixar's Despicable Me 4, which is expected to be the film that finally knocks off Inside Out 2 from the top spot. The most recent installment is pulling a not-quite-fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the franchise has enough street cred with audiences to put the butts in the seats. Despicable Me 4 stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Another highly anticipated opening is Maxine, a film about a young, aspiring actress in 1980s Hollywood that gets drawn into the world of adult films, all while a serial killer haunts the LA streets. If you want to watch a moving picture from the comfort of your own home, Eddie Murphy stars in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is now available to stream on Netflix. The film is receiving a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes and has some of the same old cast members, including Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, and has added a fresh face in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lacrosse area weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, scattered thunderstorms, a low around 59. Mostly sunny, high of 81 for Saturday. Scattered storms Saturday night, some heavy rain is possible again, a low of 63. And some puddles forming on Sunday with a high around 79. That's Eagle weather. Right now, 71 degrees.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad. You don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, we'll discuss the latest Republican power grab and the reasons to vote in August against two constitutional referendums.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
So we got a text from another text from Chris Alfheim from the 715. Chris says, it's cool. And this is in relation to my rant about anger a few minutes ago. Chris says, it's cool to be a bully. Ask the former president. That's kind of vague, Chris. Right, Conrad? I mean, there's so many former presidents.
George Washington.
He could be a real bully, that guy. Jimmy Carter. I mean, let's not rule out, you've got your whole Adams family. I need clarification on that, Chris. But yes, it is. Some people think it's cool to be a bully. My next guest most certainly is not a bully. He's a good guy. He's a gentleman. He presents himself well. He's very funny. He's a guy I used to do stand-up comedy with. We weren't a team, but we shared several stages throughout the years. And he now is a syndicated columnist, and he is a frequent flyer here at Nightlight, and it's great to have him back. Greg Schwemm. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Are you in a hotel room?
No, I'm not in a hotel room. I'm actually at a friend of mine's house.
We okay.
We barbecued, and I thought, well, I would come in here and do this. Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine. I saw the back. I thought that's either it just looks like kind of a swanky couch now. So just disregard whatever I say.
Yeah, it is very. I will let her know.
Okay.
I will let her know that you called her couch swanky.
I've never owned a swanky couch
personally. You'll like that.
But I like it. How are you, Greg?
I don't think I have either. We're comedians. Comedians don't own anything swanky.
No. And they're used to staying in.
Don't you think?
Comedy condos where nothing is swanky, where it's just kind of, there's a film over the furniture and it's terrible.
What was the worst, you can probably remember, what was the worst one? What city was the worst one you ever stayed in?
Wow, that's Lansing, Michigan. Did you ever stay there?
Lansing, Michigan, huh? I never worked Lansing, so no.
It was in a bad neighborhood. And it was, it just,
right.
When you were there, you felt like, I really know that bad things have happened here in this space before it was a comedy condo.
And when you walk in and you immediately know that, you know, you have to think about it.
It's terrible. But Greg also, I don't know if you worked Milwaukee. That was one of my favorite clubs to work, the Comedy Cafe, but where they put you up.
Yes.
Just looked like they shot a ton of porno films there in the 70s or something. And you just had this kind of skankiness in the air. I don't know. It was weird.
It's where I discovered my first Papasan chair. Remember those things? Those big round things on a wicker. And it was like on a swivel. And I just remember sitting in that going, I have to get one of these. It's so comfortable. You know?
That's hilarious. What's your worst? Where have you stayed that was the worst?
Oh God, I think worst neighborhood was Nashville. Zanies in Nashville.
Okay,
was probably the worst neighborhood. That I mean, Nashville's nice, but not this area. And probably the worst condo I ever stayed in was, I think, St. Petersburg Beach, Florida.
Oh wow,
it was just disgusting. They had like one fork. You know, one knife, you know, that was your meal. It was nice to be working in Florida in the middle of January, but
yeah.
At what price to my mental health, Pete?
You know, I'll say, now that you mentioned Florida, that remember the Comedy Corner? That's where Larry the Cable Guy, Dan Whitney, got me in there. And I worked there and I met Colleen. To this day, I love Colleen.
Right.
But that condo was right next door to the club. That was not a great condo either, but it was okay. It was just nice to be in Florida.
No, and also not, no, it wasn't. And also not a great area either. I hate to say it, but
yeah.
That area of West Palm had its challenges. Why? There was nothing you couldn't there was nothing around there to walk to.
Right, right. Except the intercoastal. You could like walk down there and see the manatee. That was kind of for a Midwest kid, that was kind of cool. But yeah, other than that, why was
yeah, you can't eat them. You no. can't eat a manatee for lunch.
That's true. Well, you could, but there are probably repercussions. So.
That was a great club, though. That's where I got my start.
I remember that, yeah. So why was Nashville so bad? Just because there was so much country music, or was it unsafe?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Oh, I can't repeat jokes. It wasn't a great joke to begin with, but if I repeat it, I'll just look foolish. I said, why was the Nashville neighborhood so bad? Was there just a lot of country music, or was it unsafe? And that was...
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It was just not a great part of town. I mean, every city's got its every city's got its bad locations.
Dicey areas,
it
yeah.
just happened to be one of them. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, funny.
Not well, a bad room, but anyway, you had to get to it. So
we've both moved on from stand-up comedy. You still do it periodically. I still do it occasionally. But you're doing great things with your column. I just love your column. It's a great way for you to be funny and probably do stuff you can't do on stage or be more subtle or whatever. I just love reading it. So let's talk about your most,
well, thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk about your most recent column. I have it here. It's the, stumbling my way off the presidential ballot. And it's great, Greg, because you talk about how,
yes.
These candidates have to be perfect. You know, if they can't recall a word right away, oh, they're senile. And you're like, I've been doing that since my 30s. You know, sometimes we just forget a word. Elaborate on that a little bit, because it's so funny.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, this is what it's come down to. I mean, I think these guys are, and we'll probably get a sense of this tonight at the debate. Everybody, you know, they'll be calling out each other's unfit for, you know, their unfitness, if you will, for the office. And I just get so tired. And I think everybody's getting very tired of just listening to, oh, you know, he stumbled on the, you know, he tripped on a curb. You can't trip on a curb and be president. You know, right. You can't, if you can't walk, I said in the column, I go, if I can't balance myself, how am I supposed to balance the budget? Right. And if I can't remember where my car is, how am I supposed to remember where troops are? Right. And they actually make it seem like this is what it's going to be. No matter who you vote for, no matter who you like in this, they're both being accused of being unfit for the office because they can't grasp a word. Or they can't, or maybe, you know, in a foreign country when they're out on a foreign stage, they don't remember what side to get off on. So somebody's got to say, no, it's that way. I still have trouble getting out of my house sometimes because I can't remember where, you know, where the door is. So I'm not as old as these guys. But like you said, you know, I mean, me looking for my phone is a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
Tonight. I can never find, I only have a 740 square foot condo and I still can't find my phone on a daily basis.
I had you had a great point in that article where you were like, I can't find my glasses. Oh, they're on my head. I had something happen to me last week regarding my readers. I went and I had something in my eye and I went to splash it out and I splashed the water I forgot to take my readers off to splash my eye out with that pollen in it or something. And so I'm just splashing water at my glasses. Other times I've had a pair of glasses, and I'm not kidding, Greg, my kids tease me. I had one pair hanging from my shirt, another pair on my head, and I was wearing a pair because I keep a lot of pair around just so I have them to access so they're accessible. And I mean, I'm not elderly. I think I'm still pretty sharp, but it's just stupid things we do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, tonight at the debate, there'll be something other than, you know, you forgot a word and you didn't know where you were for a little bit, hopefully, but I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see.
Absolutely. In addition to the unrealistic, you also wrote an article. I love this about the Rolling Stones too. First of all, how was that show? You saw them in Atlanta.
Yeah. I did, and they're in Chicago tonight, as a matter of fact. They're doing two shows, so they'll be taking the stage in about an hour and a half. I it's interesting. I had never, ever seen the Stones before, but I thought it was one of those, they're one of those bands where you're like, if you get an opportunity, you should go, because you don't want the next time to be, ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stone. Because right. I think that's coming soon.
Yeah, right. So, or it'll just be like the drummer.
Mick, you know, out the... Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, once that happened, once Charlie Watts died, you're like, okay. But I was fascinated by... these guys are 80 and still selling out football stadiums, first of all, which I think is incredible. And I was... just so taken by how much fun they looked like they were having.
Yeah.
At that age, not so much that Mick Jagger can still run up and down a catwalk at his age.
Yeah.
Which is incredible in itself.
Unbelievable.
But I think just the fact that these guys have been together for 60 years. I mean, their band was formed the year I was born, 1962.
Wow.
That's when they were formed. So they've been together for 61 years. And they still have, they've played those songs thousands of times, and they still look like they're having a great time. And I don't think it's an act. I think they genuinely are enjoying being out there. And I just think, you know, you have to look at that and think that's what it's all about. You know, they certainly don't need the money, but they love what they do. And if people want to come see them, good for them. You know, I just thought it was really, I walked away from the show feeling that way. Like, man, I just, not only did I see one of the greatest rock and roll bands that's ever lived, but I just saw three guys that are just really doing what they love, you know?
And yeah.
Realize that who knows how long they're going to be able to keep doing it. So let's go out and do it, and let's do it really well.
It's crazy to me, Greg, that like you just mentioned they were together for 61 years. You've got U2 who's played for decades. Springsteen and his E Street Band. That in and of itself, forget about greatness, just being with those people for that long and creatively collaborating is a miracle. It that one or two of them haven't gone, you know what? I'm just going to sit on my porch and drink whiskey. What am I doing? I hate hotels. I don't want to travel. I'm 80 years old. It's amazing that they do this.
Actually.
So that's so cool.
It is. And they could all be doing that. I saw Springsteen last year too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were at the same show.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a guy that's still giving it all for 3 hours a night. It's incredible.
Yeah. And Willie Nelson, I know, was in Madison, Wisconsin here about 3 weeks ago, and he played for an hour, but he's like 92, I think. And I'm like, that's another one. I haven't seen him, and I just want to go see him just to see him.
Yeah, once you hit your 90s.
Yeah. No one's going to complain how long you play for.
Yeah, but once you hit your 90s, I think you're entitled.
Yeah. Greg, what?
I remember though when Sinatra came to like Taste of Chicago, he played for an hour and people were pissed.
And if it was still Taste of Chicago, he would have probably been in his 50s, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know if it was. It was back in like the early 80s. I remember because I think I was in college.
He's
probably in his 70s, late 70s, maybe.
Yeah, but an hour is still pretty weak. I mean, he's a crooner. He's not bopping around and doing what Mick Jagger does and Springsteen and those guys. So that's, I would expect more from the chairman of the board.
Yeah.
All right. Greg Schwemm is my guest. You can check his work out, Tribune Content Agency. Look for his column is called Humor Hotel. It's great stuff. We're going to talk more about his articles next. I'm going to ask, Greg about oldies and cheese. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the midnight moonlight hour, she's walking along that lonely mile, and every time I do, I keep seeing this picture of you. Here comes my baby, here she comes now. My baby, here
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Speaking of the older guys, there's Bruce Springsteen. My guest right now is Greg Schwemm. You can read Greg's stuff at the Tribune. Let me get my stuff out of the way here. At the at Tribune Content Agencies, his column is called Humor Hotel. He joins us now here on Nightlight. Greg, you also had an article that I thought was great about cinema. You called it Cinema Fatigue Syndrome. And that one is great because... Man, who can't relate to that? Tell us what cinema fatigue syndrome is.
Cinema fatigue syndrome, I coined that because I cannot stay awake during a movie. I can't do it anymore. I don't, you know, it's got to be, if I stay awake, it's got to be so good or I have to have somebody with me who's constantly poking me because, I mean, most movies I watch, I mean, and we're not talking, when I go to the movie theater, hardly ever. I mean, I can't remember the last movie that I saw in a theater.
Right.
But so, you know, you watch them all at home, you stream them and so forth, which means you dictate how you're going to watch them. You know, you go to a movie theater, you sit in a seat and that's what you get. But, you know, you go at home, you got your couch, you got your recliner, you got whatever. And I don't care how good the movie is. The minute I get in any sort of a horizontal position, I fall asleep and right. I just can't, unless it's like a true crime drama that, you know, I like those on Netflix. So I can stay awake for those, but even then it's tough. But like the last movie that I watched was Oppenheimer. I mean, you got to pay attention during that.
Oh
movie.
Yeah.
There's about a billion characters in it.
Yes.
And you know, I woke up, I only missed like 5-7 minutes. But I still was like, okay, did they drop the bomb? Did they build the bomb? Where are they in the bomb making process here? So, and it just, it never stops. You watch movies at night and I can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you obviously can relate to that.
I can. And this is funny. First of all, I haven't had a drink in a while. I think cocktails in my experience tended to contribute to that. But even now, like my wife and I watched a movie about 2 years ago now, and she fell asleep, I swear to God, in the opening credits. And as I'm turning it off and getting up and getting ready to go to bed, she wakes up. I'm not kidding, Greg. This is what she said. She missed the entire movie. She goes, "So what happened?" Like, I go, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to paraphrase the entire movie for you." Like, but you're right. I've done this several times where I'll fall asleep, I'll wake up, rewind it a minute, then fall back asleep, rewind it a minute again, and I know I missed something pertinent, and I cannot even stay awake for a minute. It's terrible.
Right, right, yeah. I thought you were going to say that your wife said, that she fell asleep during all the credits, and then she woke up and she said, "That was really a good movie." I thought that's where you were going with that.
No. But the worst thing, too, is now – You go to theaters, and I think you alluded to this in your article, you can recline the seat, you can put your feet up. You know, it's like they're trying to help you fall asleep. It's like someone should come in and put slippers.
You can bring blankets. You can bring blankets in. That, to me, is the ultimate. You can bring your own blanket in.
Yeah, and here's a Tylenol PM, too, just to solidify the deal. I mean, my gosh.
Exactly.
It's insane. How often, Greg, when you write, like, do you have a process, or do you get up every day and say, I'm going to write for 2 hours, or do you write just when you feel an idea or something you can relate to in pop culture?
I think the second one. I think that's what that kind of hit in the head. I've never been somebody who can just sit down and write. I mean, I'm working on a book now, which is almost done. And when that'll be when I'm on your show the next time. It will be done.
Okay, cool.
And we'll talk about that and how I came to write it. But I think I just write when the mood hits me. And when I do write, I can't have any distractions. Like I've never had a TV in my office because I don't want it. I don't want background noise. I don't want music. Some people want all that stuff. My daughter used to do her best studying, according to her, when Harry Potter movies were on in the background.
Oh, come on.
Put one on and then she'd study. Well, that works for her. I could never do that.
I couldn't do that either.
Utter silence. I need total silence.
My son used to do that. He got much better grades than I ever got, but he would listen to music. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to tell him not to do that when I'm like the solid C student? You know, it's like, oh, okay, Dad, any other life hacks you can share with me, you know, that you've perfected? Hey, you mentioned, I forgot to ask you about this. Steve Jordan, did you say he was playing with the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, the drummer.
He's the guy, he used to play in Letterman's band, right? Like back in the mid-80s, I think.
I don't know. I always thought the drummer was that guy, Anton Fig.
He was.
Was the drummer. But maybe Steve Jordan took over for him. I don't know. I always remember when Letterman's band was in their heyday. It was Will Lee on bass. Anton Fig was on drums. I can't remember who the guitar player was.
Okay.
And of course, Paul Schaefer driving the band. But I know that guy's had a very storied career as like a studio musician, too.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a phenomenal drummer. That name rang a bell. What was I going to ask you? Oh, you mentioned Hacks in an article. The show Hacks. Have you been watching that?
Yeah. Have not seen season 3 yet, and I need to start. And you know what? I can get through those because they're only half an hour.
Yes. I was going to recommend Vines to you, but they don't even make those. Those are like 9 seconds.
Well, YouTube Shorts is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
That'll hold my attention.
I
love Hacks. That's a great show.
I'm behind you. I've only watched 2 episodes, but I really like it. It's just one of those. Like I go in these phases, like I'm in, like you said, true crime. Now I only like cop shows or a mystery. Now I'm in comedy, but Hacks is really well done. I absolutely love the show, and I'm going to stick with that one too.
Well, it's got so much inside. I mean, I love shows that have like inside LA, you know, inside show business references where they really capture what really goes on. And I just think it's a great, I mean, I just think that show hits so many buttons. I mean, the generational differences, the clashes.
Yeah.
The woman, you know, she is sort of like what we talked, Gene Smart's character, Deborah Vance, is kind of very similar to what we just talked about the Stones. You know, you're still doing it because you love it.
Hey, can you give us a few more minutes, Greg? Can you stick with us through the news just
absolutely.
For a few more? All right, perfect. It's great to hear you a little bit better now, too. So this is fun. We'll have more with Greg Schwemm. And I'm going to ask him about his cheese article, and this is Wisconsin.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show, the Joe Biden Hangover from Madison, and Dom joins us. Tune in Monday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.